Ratio. My name is Trevor Shrimp, and you're here as part of the Patreon audience, so thank you very much. I've had some eggnog that had alcohol in it, if I sound like I'm more charming than usual. As always, I have with me the king of charm, Mr. Graham Sigurdsson. Graham, that's, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Trevor? How are the Phillies doing?
Not good. Very badly, actually. They are disappointing the city. A lot of people have pointed out that people who are like so worried about us going to two games apiece in a 7-game series against the Astros that we have loser energy and are pathetic. And while that's true, that's definitely me. I think they have lost the series, and I'm going to be really sad for a while about it.
When was the last time they were in the World Series?
2009.
Oh, okay, so not that.
No. Honestly, it's not as bad of a break as a lot of people. So, like, you know, like the Cleveland Guardians, such when they were not the Guardians, when they were in 2016, hadn't been in since 1948. So there are some pretty serious gaps. The Phillies have been actually a fairly winning team. I mean, not in a lot of ways, but in some ways. You know, particularly in terms of getting to the World Series since like the 70s or so.
Right.
So I can't complain too much, but I can complain a little bit. Graham, how are you?
I'm okay. I guess it's not as bad as I'm not like a Toronto sports fan, but knowing like real loser energy is being a Toronto sports fan is my understanding.
Because
I think the Leafs haven't been to the World Cup in like.
Stanley Cup. It's called the Stanley Cup.
But yeah, that's right. To the Stanley Cup. They haven't been there in like 20 years or something.
It's been a while for the Leafs.
Yeah, and the Jays haven't been there since like 93 when they won it.
When they won it against the Phillies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, that's true. that was an interesting Jays time. They went to it in 92 and 93. So, and then not again for a while.
Oh yeah,
but they'll get there.
The Leafs have not won the Stanley Cup since '67.
The Phillies haven't.
No. The Leafs, I said.
I was like, it's remarkable that they won it at all. I think we should be proud of them for doing it.
Yeah, I turned off all items and did final mode in the division finals. And they're gonna have to play against the Zimbabwe cricket team too.
I put the Toronto Maple Leafs in my Mutant League football settings, and let's see how they do. Unfortunately, they've all been taken out by mines on the field. Well, anyway, to distract myself from the Phillies probably getting no hit in a playoff game, let's talk about anything else. How's Toronto in general? Is the weather looking good?
Well, it was pretty nice when I was there 2 weeks ago, but
I know you don't live in Toronto, but I didn't want to tell people where you lived. So,
I mean, it's fine. I'm like 2 hours away. Mm-hmm. It was nice when I was there 2 weeks ago. A little rainy the first. This is so scintillating. It was a little rainy the first bit, but then it cleared up.
All right. Well, I like to hear that.
Yeah. How's the weather in your neck of the woods?
Real bad. No, it's fine. It's very nice. It's like 70 here. Wow. We're getting nice weather. One more question. What are you doing and who are you doing it with? I'm Alan Partridge. What are you reading these days? I know Chainsaw Man's the big thing, but you're done with that. So,
it's still good. I'm reading it every week when it drops new stuff.
That and One Piece. Those are your two books.
Yes, of course. Well, wait, let's do our new segment on the show. What does Graham's Annie List account?
This is like what we do with Piss on the other show.
All right, let's open it up here. Okay, I'm reading, this is great radio. I'm filling the airtime. I'm like the Hank Kingsley of the podcast.
Wow.
Oh. That's my Jeffrey Tambor impression.
It's very good.
Yeah, I don't know. Everything's pretty good. I'm reading like Spy Family's fun, Fable. There's a fan translation of that.
Yeah, Fable?
The Fable.
Oh, I thought you meant Fable.
Oh, no, like, yeah, Peter Molyneux.
Are you either reading Fables or playing the game Fable?
Yeah, I'm
either way.
No, either way, no thanks.
Very cool.
Well, what if like fairy tales were like badass?
What if they were Israel?
Yeah, what if they were Israel?
ADL is going to make me talk to Kyrie at this rate. I love all my Jewish brothers and sisters. I do, actually. That's not ironic. What else are you? What else? Well, what are you watching? Are you watching anything good? I mean, you're on your Annie list, so.
I just kind of I've been watching just kind of the weekly stuff. Watching one of the Gundams that people don't like. I kind of got back into. I left off like 20 episodes in last year.
Then Gundam Hitler.
Yeah. Mobile Suit Gundam Reich.
People don't like that one, famously.
Yeah. No, because I was watching the new one. I've been playing that Gundam, like that Gundam Overwatch.
Is it any good?
It's I don't know. It's fun. There's only like 15 characters, so it gets a little repetitive.
Do a lot of people play it at this point, or is it?
I've been playing with a friend of the show, Creel, like every other night or so, and we find games pretty fast. I think because it's free, there's like a consistent player base, but it's been fun.
People want to play with Creel.
Oh, well, that too. But it's so funny to go into the chat. Like we were getting kind of bored with him going to the chat and being like, oh, what mobile suit do people hope you add? And this one guy just responds. He goes, I don't know anything about Gundam.
He only likes Gundam Mobile Suit Hitler.
Except you, sir. And Mobile Suit Mussolini Suit Gundam.
Graham's watching the famously banned Macross Arbite Mach Fry.
Yeah. Yeah, Bubble Graham, like the. God, I don't know. Bubblegum Crisis of Succession. And the
Graham's just putting on Appleseed World War
II. Yeah, I'm watching I remember I used to date a girl who, when she was doing her first year of like undergrad at art school, there's a person in her class who, you know, would talk about anime all the time, and everybody's kind of like, oh, okay, you know, whatever, fine. She goes, oh, here's my photos of me cosplaying. And she was like, her and like everybody's like, why are you dressed like a Nazi? She's going, oh, no, it's, you know, it's Hitalia. It's the show where every, you know, country is anthropomorphized into a person. And someone's just like, yeah, but why would you dress as that one? And she's like, no.
Sad. They should be nicer.
Yeah, they should have respected her watching this, one of the dumbest shows I've ever heard about.
I saw that Tom Sharpling had the guy from Fucked Up on his show, and he called it effed up.
Oh yeah, he does that all the time. Yeah,
it's pretty funny. I like
because it's a carryover, because when he was on WFMU we couldn't swear. Mm-hmm. So when they started doing like the independent show, they just kind of kept with that. It's
effed up.
Yeah, so they just called it. He's like, Damien from Effed Up is on the show.
I'm not watching anything. I should be, but I'm.
I guess I've been watching Larry Sanders' show, but that's my follow up show to watching all of The Shield.
Good follow-up.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Very similar.
Different show about cops in another way.
Is it?
I don't know.
Back it up.
Rip Torn's kind of like the captain of the division. And
great.
Larry's the one who plays by his own rules. And okay. Hank's kind of like Dutch.
Damn it, Dutch.
Yeah, damn it, Hank.
All right. Are you a bigger Jeffrey Tambor fan now, or were you bigger when you heard about his problems on his set, which I know that you supported? What?
You know, it's funny, like I kind of forgot about that when I started watching this. I, you know, like, forgot, not, like, act, not began to forget. Like, I hadn't remembered. I was like, yeah, I'll put it all aside. But like, yeah, like, as like, you know, first season not as much, but I'm on the third season now, and Hanks, that character, is just like, you know, really like kind of belligerent and like mean half the time. I'm just kind of like,
getting a little close to home.
And I was like, yeah, this is a little, you know, I guess life does imitate art in a way.
Yeah, I always found, and this is going to make it sound like I'm pandering, and I really am not, because I don't even know if this is a very particularly good opinion or not, but
right.
I didn't like, I never really got into watching Transparent, because I didn't like that they didn't have a trans actor for that. That was weird that they got Jeffrey Tambor for it.
Yeah, and there was, like, other actors on the show who, like, were trans.
Oh, were there? I didn't realize. I didn't watch long enough to know this.
I believe there were, but it was also like, yeah, like Jeffrey Tambor's like the, I don't know, as the main one.
Yeah, it just felt like they were like, well, we're gonna need someone to get the normals into this.
And yeah,
it's like, I don't like this.
And everybody loved that revival season of Arrested Development.
That's right. Everyone, it was uncontroversially great, especially the fifth one that they did after that even I didn't watch.
Yeah, ooh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I watched the fourth one, and I did not watch the fifth one.
I did watch an episode of that, because I remember the first episode, like, begins where the last one ended with Michael Cera. But, of course, like, in the intervening time, he's aged 6 years. So they have him in, like, the same costume, but he looks like he's gone from, like, you know, it's like a child to having, like, male pattern baldness.
I mean, do they play it off as a joke or anything? Or?
I don't remember them doing that. It was just straight kind of like, you know, and then, like, George Michael was doing this, and it's just him looking older.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, speaking of a show that never makes mistakes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Homicide. This right. next one's called Fits Like a Glove.
Mm-hmm.
You might remember, this is season 3, episode 2, you might remember, dear listener, that in the last episode, the lovable scamps at Homicide found out that there was a killer who was killing, or well, we didn't know that he was killing multiple people. We found out that there was a killer out there because one of the nicest people in Baltimore was killed.
Right.
A real life saint, someone who just got like the Mayor's Medal of Honor, essentially.
The Samaritan of the Year.
Thank you very much for remembering that. Won the Samaritan of the Year and then was murdered and was wearing white gloves and nothing else. And so this one is called Fits Like a Glove. So I imagine you can guess what we're going to get more of in here. Much like the first episode, actually, even more so than the first episode, there are no other cases going on. This is the case. There's not even a secondary thing. The B plot is trying to get the liquor license for the bar, and Bayless accidentally perjures himself.
Because he has a misdemeanor that he forgot about.
I do think the misdemeanor they choose for him is pretty funny.
Yes,
I'll be honest. I think it's pretty good that he has a gambling misdemeanor, and then he explains it's because he sent a chain letter.
He fell for Homer Simpson's like Mr. Happy phone call scheme.
Yeah. And I don't think that you can actually get a misdemeanor for that. Like, I don't think you can get a misdemeanor for sending it out, because like that. I feel like I would have heard more about that.
No, I don't understand how that's like a gambling misdemeanor.
Yeah, it's very odd. But
Lewis, you don't understand. I had three cards and a ball, and I was in an alleyway.
You don't understand. I had been taken into the underground city in order to pay off all my debts, and the only way out was to play more gambling.
Yeah,
my friends and I came up with a can't miss scheme.
Yeah, Ricky J was showing me how to throw cards into watermelons, and I got caught.
I was on a boat, and I was playing. Limited rock paper scissors, and unfortunately, Kaiji just freaking out in the middle, and
Bayless is like, I was going to the auction from Hunter Hunter and the Phantom Troop. I got sucked up inside Frankie's fingers. Oh no.
Oh boy. How you gonna get yourself out of this one, Bayless? But since Bayless wants to be the silent partner in their bar, I can understand this. He doesn't pay attention to anything, and Munch and Meldrick both admit that they do not have any crimes, despite Meldrick saying, like, hey, didn't you smoke a ton of weed?
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't have any problems. Like,
yeah,
I don't.
Yeah, I never got caught.
Stanley, what would you do if you caught me smoking weed, Stanley? Would you punish me?
I'd kill you.
Munch. Don't do it to me, Munch.
I was just thinking now, but yeah, Tim, it says you have a misdemeanor here for you have to walk for walking across an electrified railing suspended above a 50-story building in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah. Seemed like the best way to get out.
Yeah,
it's the best way to get out of debt. One of my friends died.
Did you ever watch the spinoff of Kaiji where
it's the middle management Tonegawa? No, yeah. I haven't seen that yet.
One of the episodes is like they're like we have to set up a scheme to entertain the boss, but it's them like setting up the rock paper scissors thing, mm-hmm. and like the joke is that like I mean this is probably not you know. Just the joke for the sake of that show. The joke is that in all of those cubes that like they would put the cards into, they couldn't get it automated. So the joke is that like all of like the guys with sunglasses are just sitting inside those cubes. And I throw it, there was like, it's boring in there. So the one guy's like reading manga and the other guy's like playing video games.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that in the shoes of Kaiji, Bayless would know what to do. But I think Kaiji is probably a better gambler than Bayless.
Right.
It's just my guess. I don't think Kaiji would send a letter unless he had, like, a scheme to make that letter work out.
Yeah, I had to use my points to play, like, to play CeeLo. And they let me out of the underground mining camp.
And now I'm going to send this letter out instead of just working at the S-Mart or whatever that I was working at.
Yes.
In any case.
Now I have to play Mahjong, but it's rigged Mahjong. Oh, damn it.
Now Bayless tries to beat the monster or whatever, the slot machine.
He has to play Pachinko.
He can do it.
Munch, check it out. It's Metal Gear Solid 3 Apache slot.
All right, Bayless, what do you see when you see this pachinko machine?
Yes.
I don't know, Frank. What do I see? I see a pachinko machine. You put a ball down and you try to do it. No, Bayless. No, Stanley,
you don't understand. The boss was doing it for her own country.
Munch, I'm just saying. If you need magnets to break this pachinko machine, then why don't we use magnets to break the pachinko machine?
What will it be, Stanley? Loyalty to your country or loyalty to me?
Munch.
Munch walking around with like the mini
dressed like the boss,
the mini nukes. Kuwabara, Kuwabara, Munch.
But yeah, so the B plot's just goofy. Basically, it's like Meltrick and Munch being surprised that Bayless has a conviction. Bayless is worried that he's going to go to jail because he committed perjury.
It's him realizing that, like, because it's a serialized narrative, like, it can't just be one plot that's serialized. They're like, oh, I guess them owning the bar is going to be an ongoing saga.
Yeah, they have two serialized things here because the other thing that's going on is the white glove guy is becoming a serial killer because we had another person die in the last episode and she is also wearing white gloves, which is a problem, obviously. So yeah, we're stuck with a serial killer. This is a big issue. Where do we want to start?
And that damn racist Gaffney is still the primary on the case.
Well, Gaffney really fouls it all up, right? Like, he really screws up big time.
He's apparently the worst police officer of all time.
Because that unlocked cabinet we saw in the last episode, we get to see it again. And yeah, he's like, well, you can go in, but I washed it all out. The oldest man in the world is like, I washed it all out with a hose.
Yeah, the veteran of the Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah, really? I do like, wasn't that... No, that was something else. I was thinking of something else. It was a story that I was listening to when someone asked, how was your time in Vietnam? And the person responded, well, I never went back.
Yeah.
This guy actually might have been in World War II. He's way too old to have been in Vietnam. He's basically like, yeah, you know, I washed it out because the one guy I talked to, this Irish fella, didn't want to come down. And so you know, Pembleton tells on Gaffney and says, like, this Gaffney idiot screwed me up, and he yells at Gaffney. And then when asked by the lieutenant if he did this, Gaffney says, well, that guy was kind of a jerk. He kept telling me about his war medals.
Yeah.
And then he calls her a mermaid on the bow of a ship.
Yeah, because she's got legs but no tail.
Maybe the most poetic Gaffney moment.
Before launching into like a racist tirade, where he uses slurs from the 20s to insult Pembleton.
It's really weird. Like he throws it out there casually. It's like,
also, dude, when you see the Gaffney, you're like, yeah, I don't think you go, yeah, that guy looks Irish.
No, he just looks white. If you told me he was Dutch, I would believe it.
Yeah, he looks like Al Bundy, and he has a flat top.
He looks like they went into Central Casting. Like, all right, we need a racist, but he has to be incompetent. And they're like, I got the guy for you.
Yeah, he looks like a background extra from a Tim and Eric episode.
I did like the lieutenant just says, like, your laziness has compromised this investigation from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Like, man, brutal. But Gaffney's taken off, and now Pembleton, our hero Pembleton, is the main guy. Lieutenant is, they ask Giordello if he'll give her Pembleton. He goes, give you? No, but I'll load you to
I'll loan you to
him. I'll let you borrow him.
Coda is really thin in these episodes. He must have been doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure.
And he must have been, I feel like he might have done his, like, cut his hair for, like, another role. Because it looks like his hair looks like a hair piece in this one.
I liked Kodo in this one. I thought he was pretty fun. Yeah. And there wasn't, like, all the stuff he did was, like, when they gave him a chance to do gravitas, the gravitas was written in such a way that it wasn't embarrassing. Where it wasn't like, oh, he's doing a gravitas about his famiglia. He's doing gravitas about being, like, the talented tenth. He's like, didn't you hear? I'm the good black guy. I'm better than everyone else. I'm educated and I can dance on command.
You were in World War II, eh? Well, my family, my Italian family is in the Second World War II. And
they all fell out of guard towers. Yeah, it's really sad.
Gino.
But yeah, it's like, it's fine. It's like, it's those scenes are good. I will say, I tweeted this, but I agree with it. Like, the scenes where, like, basically they're just like, okay, we're going to do a big black box again. And I've said this on here before, but, like, especially in this one, when they're like, Pembleton and Bayless, you guys get to act like it's play now, are really good in this episode. Thumbs down for Felton's continuing romance.
God.
Did you feel that they do not know how to write his wife?
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing with that character. Like, it feels like it felt like they're pulling back after the last episode where they're like, ooh, she's fucking like loco. She's crazy. But this one, they're like, oh, she just wants her husband back.
It's really funny. Like,
she also looks like she's like his daughter. And she looks way young. Maybe not that young, but she looks way younger than Daniel Baldwin.
It's odd. Like, I mean, like, you could convince me. I mean, you could convince me that, like, okay. Yeah, like they're married. Okay, fine. Like, it's sort of like, you know, maybe she's his age or whatever.
Right.
But like the dynamic they have is so crazy to me. Like, where, you know, like, she's like, oh, she's talking to Kay.
Yeah.
And saying like, yeah, you know, I wish you could tell me, like tell Felton that, like, I just want to see him. Like, can you tell him I want to see him? I have a present for him. I'm sorry about cutting up your shirt. It's like, you did like a psychosexual, like, weird thing.
Yeah, you did it before, like, stripping nude and then, like, laying on the bed and going, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you.
You have, like, basic instinct stuff to film. It's like, please, just like, I want to make things right. I want to invite him over for my yummy rhubarb pie.
Yes.
Very weird.
With my dog that looks like the most mutt dog to ever.
Like, and we also find out that that Felton is, like, mostly concerned about his kid's mitt. Doesn't know that his kid cries himself to sleep. But messiest divorce of all time. These kids have no chance.
Yeah.
And he's totally in love with his boss. Kay is like, that's probably not going to work out too hot for you.
But, no. His like much more traveled woman he's having an affair with.
He's like,
who also doesn't sound like that good a mother herself.
No.
She's like, yeah, like my daughter is like an angel, except when she's with me.
Yeah, sometimes she gets sick and hates her stupid nanny.
Yeah, and then I take her on trips with me, but then like I fuck off to do my own thing.
It's so funny. Like, I don't know. I don't want to take a baby on a trip. She's like, taking babies on trips is great.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Let me tell you, everyone, taking babies on trips.
No,
not all great. It's cracked up to be.
Yeah, especially when you take from the Budapest, Prague, and Sarajevo.
Everyone loves when a baby is on a plane for 12 hours crying.
Yeah, I love taking my baby to the Balkans.
People also love when babies go to war-torn nations. Everyone loves seeing them there. They bring joy. Yeah, a lot
of war in this episode. They talk about, like, as a World War II veteran, they took their kid there pre-Bosnian War. They curse Saddam Hussein for some reason.
Oh, yeah, Saddam Hussein shows up in this episode. Not the actual guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be cool, though.
Oh, wait, you know what? No, sorry, I'm conflating that with the Larry Sanders episode I watched tonight.
Oh, okay. I thought there was a huge joke.
Oh, God. Oh, sorry. No, I was just saying, where John Lovitz is mad that an episode got bounced once because of the Gulf War. Oh,
I thought there was a Saddam Hussein reference in this, but I could be wrong.
Maybe they're...
It doesn't really matter. But the... Yeah, so you know, the upshot of all of this is there's a couple of plot lines running around that don't matter. There's the bar. There's the love affair. But the real thing that matters is that Gaffney's off the case and out of the squad. He's done. I'm sure we'll never see him again.
No.
Never. No.
Wink, wink. Yeah.
But he's gone for now. And we have our friend Frank running the show again, which is, you know, great news.
So now he gets as much free reign as he wants to speak Latin over bodies or have cartoonish introspective conversations with nuns.
He really does like having introspective conversations with nuns.
You know, or say stuff like, you know, ooh, pull up a pew.
I love that he just finds the nun playing the organ and she's like, the father lets me play this organ.
Yeah.
She's like, let me sit down and play with you.
I was laughing thinking of just going in there and she's playing Inagata Davida. So
we get the scene with Pembleton. He does a lot of thinking about good and evil in this episode. It's fine. Like it's fine because Brar does it. It's kind of like thinking about the villain here and like, oh, who are they? Like they're a Catholic, but they're lapsed. Like, it is kind of like sub Dexter stuff at times. Like it isn't, great.
Yeah, it's very, very lame.
Yeah, but
you know, what kind of man, you know, who believes in God turns goodness into the enemy?
But I did like that scene where he's sitting there and he like sits extremely still with a cigarette up against his head.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty good. So there's good stuff too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so
but that stuff where they're like, oh, like, you know, are you scared of pure evil? Ooh, so am I.
That was really bad.
It's like you're a cop.
I did like where he's like, well, what do you think, sister? What could drive a man to this? Is this some sort of demon? And she's like, maybe it's someone who feels disaffected and disconnected from the church. Frank's like, oh my God. That's so smart.
Oh no.
He does have that great line where he says that he felt safe in the Catholic school, and then he went to Jesuit school and learned to think, and he hasn't felt safe since.
Yeah.
That kind of rocks. That's pretty tight.
I went to school, but all I got were rocks in my head.
The monologues in this are great. The plot line is clearly sort of like they were like, we need a cool serial killer to get people interested in homicide. I do like that they introduced the weird serial killer guy who likes to collect things.
Yeah, Frederick Fuchs.
this is dirt from Ed Gein's grave. So they based Hannibal Lecter off of.
David Berkowitz drew this drawing for me.
I mean, it could be true that David Berkowitz drew like a kind of like R. Crumb ass drawing of himself on a dollar bill.
The lighter side of.
So this guy shows up at the department as they're starting to realize it's a homicide and a serial homicide at that. And he says, oh, it's the glove guy. Well, he's been around the block. And so they start realizing, like, okay, it's widespread. This weird dude who likes to collect serial stuff, who's now has like a multi-million dollar podcast, is amped.
You could tell he's a poster because he says you have to be online to stay on the edge.
I like that. That was back when that was a controversial thing to say, not just the truth.
He's in the Usenet groups pretending to be an FBI agent. It's like that Mark McKinney sketch I sent you where they did Daryl on SNL with like Chris Elliott as like a pervert.
That was good.
Yeah.
I like the I think
I'm corresponding funny. With Jeffrey Dahmer. He's boring.
Well, I liked that he was like he loves this. He loves this Gregorian chant.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I don't know. I guess that's topical. Homicide's back in the news because we made a show about Jeffrey Dahmer. I don't know. Like, it's an okay episode. I think the weirdest part about it is that the frame story is like, have you guys thought about what if the homicide team had to find a serial killer? Mm-hmm. Way more interesting when they just kind of get time to spread out. Stanley has a brief moment in this where, like, Giardello kind of rags on him and asks if he's trying to start collecting serial killer stuff because he drove that guy to a hotel.
I think like a month after this episode aired was when Jeffrey Dahmer died. Yeah.
Well, all right.
This was like October this aired, and then like he died in like November 1994.
Got it in right under the wire. Pretty good.
Yeah. He was playing those damn Gregorian chants too loud in his cell.
That's why he got killed. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's exactly it. Nothing else.
His Methodist cell neighbor couldn't take it anymore.
Stop it!
No, I don't like that.
I'll kill you, Jeffrey.
I'll kill you, Jeffrey. And someone will make a graphic novel about you. A what? Never mind.
I don't know. Like, I did enjoy this episode. I just wish, like, I wish they didn't have to do this plot line the way they're doing it.
Yeah.
It feels very heavy-handed. Like, very much, like, the suits are like, make a homicide, people are going to watch, or you're canceled.
Because I think, like, all like, the stuff with, like, you know, the actual murder is fine, but then, like, it's wrapped in, like, you know, that music that's playing when Pembleton's talking to the nun, or when they're looking at like the board with the evidence photos, and it's all,
he doesn't hate Catholics, he is Catholic, or
like all the because I mean it's true that like those scenes are actually like not bad because a lot of them are like Broward just acting or Secor just acting very well, but like the actual sort of like twist you're supposed to get into it is just like, all right, guys, like,
right. And then it's wrapped around these scenes of, you know, of Felton being like, yo, you know, I don't take showers because I don't want to wash your smell off me.
Ugh.
Yeah.
God.
And I was like, yeah, I can tell, brother.
Yeah, that's gross, dude. Yeah. No one's going to want that.
Yeah. Oof. Hey, puts.
Yikes. I feel like the interesting stuff sort of came towards the end where like they kind of find ways to be goofy with it, with like the serial killer guy. And they also like sort of, which is like kind of a goofy bit hearkening back to something like, something like the fake machine that got that guy to confess. I mean, I think like the stuff with Giardello and the lieutenant is pretty interesting. Like sort of like how they are bonding in a certain way. I think that's cool.
Right.
And I'm glad to see Gaffney go away. He was a bad person. Yeah. But again, this is like an easy win the show gives me. Get rid of that racist cop. Yeah, now all the good cops are there.
I was really laughing, remembering like when they all walk out, you know, after like the briefing with Pendleton, where he tells them all what their roles are. Munch and Lewis both, you know, go to the hall and they both have tan suits on.
Real Obamas.
Thinking, yeah, that's all I could think of when people got mad that Obama had a tan suit. Just,
you know, now, let me be clear.
Yeah, so at the department of Meldrick, you got to go home and change.
I guess I'm trying to think of what to say about it. Like,
what's up with Corsetti's vacation?
No, yeah, he's not going to come back alive, is the thing.
Ooh, yikes.
Yeah, Chris Eddie's not coming back. Yeah. I hope he's having a good time. Miss that little gremlin.
Yeah. I mean, there's stuff too, like, you know, like I said, like, you know, the whole murder case in itself is interesting. But then, like, again, like, you know, he's talking to the nun, or, you know, Frank starts speaking Latin. He does, like, a Latin
That was prayer. So funny. Like, when he was saying it, it's like, is he doing last rites? And he's like, it means if God is on our side, who can defeat us? Ugh. All right. That's like, cool, I guess.
Yeah, so you, yeah, you mean all this stuff that, like, you, like, weren't doing in the first two seasons?
Yeah, it feels like, I hate to be a broken record, and maybe we should probably do, like, maybe three or four episodes next time, because, like, you know, these don't really reward as much analysis as the other ones, because, like, basically, like, the plot is really ordinary, and the writing is a lot more ordinary. It's just that the performances are still very good.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, your Daniel Baldwin's and such, like, they do a good job. Like, I don't have a problem with the way he's acting.
No. I think it's just, like, the material they're given. And it's, like, funny enough, that's, like, material that he was not happy with, that I think, you know, kind of made him leave after this season.
Well, yeah, I don't think I'd be happy with it either.
No, I wouldn't.
Like, why do I expect it to make out with my lieutenant, with my sergeant, or whatever? Like,
I don't want to make out with the woman who I'm actually married to in real life. Gross.
Oh, they're actually married? That's funny.
Well, I don't know if they were married, but the two of them had a kid together.
Yeah, it was that girl who was with her nanny.
Yes.
I did think it was funny how they, like, tried to come up with a bunch of different people who, like, were like names of people working in the thing, like,
oh yeah,
such and such, like, one guy was Shabazz.
Detective Shabazz.
I was like, they gotta show Shabazz. I want to know who these people think is named Shabazz. Like, there are people whose last name is Shabazz, and that's fine. Of course. I'm mostly interested in knowing who Homicide thinks is named.
Yeah, Detective Betty Shabazz reporting for news.
Yeah, they. It's very much a very strange series of names, including just, like, Shabazz, which is, like, feels like they were like, okay, we got to make this, got to make a more interesting list of names. All right. I don't know. There was in all honesty, not a ton going on in this one. Kind of interesting, kind of fun. From, like, watching TV way. Yeah, but like, ultimately, it feels like it's just leading you along to be like, I can't wait till I find out who the killer is. Which in many ways just makes you the same thing as the collector guy. So, bet you feel bad about yourself now.
How about that? You and your 8mm clippings that you've gotten of the Green River Killer.
Oh boy.
Ooh.
I hope I don't have any of those.
Look at this. It's a piece of yarn that the BTK used.
How'd you get that? I paid someone a lot of money.
Yeah, I paid someone. I worked in sales.
Sales mostly.
So, yeah.
That was a good line. Yeah. I like that.
Right. Wait, what?
Well, anything you wanted to add for this one?
No, I messaged you about it, but I was laughing so hard at the, you know, when they find her body in the dumpster and the garbage is, like, perfectly arranged over her body so that you can't. It's like she's dressed like an anime character, basically, in the dumpster with, like, garbage, like, plastered to her breast.
Yeah, exactly. It's like both of them, like, even like the third, they find a third woman at the end of the episode. Oh, we'd be remiss not to let mention that. But they find a third. The detective says, "Call, ask for Pembleton, Frank Pembleton. Frank
Pembleton,
It's his case. That's his tagline. It's my case, Frank Pembleton.
Pembleton's on the scene.
But yeah, it's like the even then, it's like it's just her feet showing. Like you never see any nudity. You're assured they are nude. Oh, well, the one thing we forgot to say, the boss lied to the press about what was happening with these girls because she needed more time and Giardella told her to lie and then said she's bad. You're bad. Kennedy Giardello. But she says they already caught them, so they have 24 hours to catch this guy now.
The juxtaposition of the opening shot is shot on video to make it look like a news report, and then like before it cuts into the actual episode, I thought I was laughing at how much it looked like Inland Empire.
Oh yeah.
It was Tony Todd. I'm like, oh, ooh. Get out of there, Tony. Laura Dern's about to yell at you.
I don't know. I hope the rest of the episodes are a little more exciting. Maybe this is some growing pains in coming to the network. But, you know, it's very possible that we start speeding up our process here. Yeah. If things don't pick up. We can watch maybe three episodes for next time, see where that gets us. Any final thoughts, Graham?
No, I was, you know, I was laughing at, Russert's, she's traveled to, Budapest, Prague, Sarajevo, and Felton, his version of that is, I've always wanted to see Alaska.
It's really the most, like, basic bitch thing to say.
You rube.
Like, oh, yeah, sure. How long do you think it would take to get there? Probably too long with a kid.
I could bring my carrot sticks and my portable TV that I take to court all the time.
Yeah, what about that? What about that part of Felton? Where's that Felton?
Yeah, this is schlub.
And where's Kay's big dicked boyfriend?
Yeah, Ed
Danvers. Where's Ed Danvers and his big old hog?
Ed Danvers, yeah.
Massive schlong. Yeah, so not the best showing ever, but you know it happens. No. I don't really have anything else.
No, I mean it's still like a compelling show to watch, but
it's sort of like popcorn, I think, I guess.
Yeah, I think it is very kind of a like growing pains here. I think this season we have to look forward to the episode that's like the first crossover with Law and Order.
Oh boy.
Oh, that'll be so awesome.
We'll have to find the representative Law and Orders.
Oh, all right.
Everyone, start up your torrent machines.
Yes.
Well, anyway, as the Phillies are likely to are down to their last two outs in the game, I bid you adieu before I start crying on air.
All right. How much money did you bet on them?
$100,000. Oh. No, none.
I bet. I mortgaged the Patreon.
I bet no money on it. I should have bet that they'd get no hit. I would have made a lot of money. But.
Wow, what an exciting game this must have been. 0-0-0-0-0-0-0 for 4 innings, 5 innings, 5 runs at the top of the fifth.
Yeah.
No runs.
It sucked. I hated it. I hate it so much. And no hits for the Phillies.
Oh, man.
This is a bad one.
It's really a no-hitter for them.
Wow. Yeah, no, I wasn't lying. Anyway, thanks, everyone. And I will see you again next week. Really appreciate the support.
And I'll see you too.
Bye.
Bye.